I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Quick programming note. We've kept up with the weekly release schedule since the pandemic started, even though the movie format actually takes more time to prep and get people together for. That was because at the start of all this, I needed something to do. But now I've got a new virtual job, and it's getting harder to keep up. So I'm not going to release every Monday going forward. I'm still going to keep making new episodes, I'm just going to slow down a little. Stay subscribed to the feed to get notified when a new episode drops. Thanks. Welcome to Break a Wish, the podcast where all your dreams come true, but with terrible, ironic consequences. I'm your host, Maddox Campbell. Joining me today, we have Paul JP.
Hello.
And Kat Letwin.
Hi.
And the movie we're breaking down this time is Wishmaster.
Yeah.
A Wes Craven horror film that is, it's a ride. It's a ride, folks.
It is. It is a strap-in kind of thrill ride. I mean, do not attempt if, like, you're pregnant or nursing.
Shouldn't. They should have had that warning on there, and they didn't.
They really yeah, no, exactly. It's, you know, just like the Rock and Roller Coaster in Disney World. You know, you just got to watch out for your health before you get in there.
All right. So, Kat, how about you get us started? What is your what was your experience with this film before I told you to watch it for this?
I had never watched it before. I'd actually never even heard of it before. So I was thrilled that it was brought into my life by that Facebook message you sent saying, do you want to talk about Wishmaster? And of course I said yes. I'm like, I have no idea what that is. But yes, of course I do. I'm going to figure out what this is later. But for now, I agree to the terms and conditions. Anyway, this is also clearly why the government has so much of my information. I just, you know,
you agree to things lightly. Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh my life. I had no prior experience. Applying for the job, I just lied about my master's degree.
I would have let you do it anyway. It's fine.
Oh,
You didn't have to lie about the master's.
I have 20 years of experience with Python and C++. Okay. Can I just say, it was a goddamn joy to experience it for the first time. I am so happy that I know about it now. It feels close to me in a way few friends are.
Okay. Well, let's see about how our friend feels about it. Paul, how about you?
So in terms of my experience with the movie, I had seen it before once, but a really long time ago, like maybe 15 years ago or something, right as I was in high school, something like that. I hadn't seen it in a very long time. I'd forgotten almost everything about it. I kind of remembered like the inside the opal scene where everything is like red and like terribly.
It was
shot.
A series of tubes. It was just running around in a play place.
Exactly. That's exactly that. Somebody had put some like blankets on and turned on a smoke machine and left it on a little bit too long. So it was wonderful to come back to it. God, I think it might be my new favorite movie.
Right? Right?
It might be. And the only reason that it might be, the only reason that it is even up for debate at this point, is that I did last night also watch Wishmaster 2.
Yes, he did some extracurricular activities.
I did do a little bit of extra homework. And my plan for when we're done recording this is that I do have copies ready to go of Wishmasters 3 and 4.
So the pandemic has been really good for your mental health, is what you're saying.
You know, I really want the ability to just sort of wish my way out of this. Mm. And I, you know.
It would cost you your soul.
If you want to make these wishes.
The way this man talks is, it's honey in my ears. I could listen to the Wishmaster.
Oh yeah,
just be a prick to everybody.
Do you think there's like Wishmaster ASMR out there somewhere?
Oh God, I hope so.
There should be. I mean, I'm sure you got to get that same actor, get a recording.
Yeah, he's not working. Like I'm.
He's not doing anything else. Yeah.
And he came back for the second one.
Oh.
Which made me very happy, but I'm given to understand he's not in the third or fourth one. So I think so much of my enjoyment of these first two movies was from that guy and his voice. So I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy these other ones, but
yeah, we'll see if maybe it falls off by three. I had not seen Wishmaster either. A lot of people had suggested it once they heard that I was doing a sort of a movie review spree of things that had wishes in them a lot. And to fair, lots of wishes in it. It has the most number of wishes in a single film out of any of the ones we've watched so far.
Yeah, what's the wish per capita count on this one, Maddox?
Ooh, I did write down every single one that was wished. So let me see if I can count them off. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
That's a lot of wishes,
baby. I think it's up to 16 wishes appear on screen and get granted.
Wow.
That's a lot over a feature film length time spree. And there's at least one off-screen wish, because we know that the Sultan or King at the start there, he's on wish 2 when he wishes for the dumbest wish you could ever wish towards an evil genie, which is show me wonders.
Yeah.
Just give him a blank check to do with whatever he
Show
wants.
Me wonders.
You know what? In all fairness, though, I really agree with the way the djinn, and may I say, I was so thrilled at the beginning of the movie when it was explaining the provenance of djinn that it was spelled D-J-I-N-N, because recently when I was playing a game of Bananagrams, I used djinn spelled that way and won the game. And it gave me such a bolster of like understanding and confidence.
Validated your spelling.
But I completely agree with the djinn in that a man's skeleton coming out of his body to then just gently hug a man is a wonder.
I was trying to, we were looking at that and it's like, wait, so did he turn the man into just his skeleton? Like, did he make a separate entity that is the skeleton that then came out of the man? Like, it becomes really confusing about what exactly he did to that
guy.
Well, I think it's quite clear that he imbued a separate consciousness into the skeleton. And so the skeleton awoke to find itself in like a meat prison and was, you know, just doing what I think any of us would do in a similar situation, which is break your way out of there and give somebody a hug.
You're right, Paul. That was made abundantly clear.
Yeah.
It was very clear. Okay, I guess so. talking about the providence at the start, I was watching that too, because I had, you know, I knew I was doing some things on Wishes. I looked up Jin kind of recently because I was also doing Aladdin, and I wanted to make sure I had my lore straight. Mm. The first title card is all pretty much exactly right. You know, it's like, okay, they made angels, they made humans, and there's a third thing that's between angels and humans, that is Jin. And then the second title card comes up, and I'm like, oh, none of that's right. That's just the stuff they're making up for this film. It's all wild.
Yeah, so the first card was the research that they did, and the second card was what Wes Craven remembered before he started making this movie. And when he did his actual research, he was like, no, I already came up with the idea.
Right.
I'm not changing
it. Well, it was like, it's like a self-insert fan fiction, right? Like, it doesn't really necessarily matter what the canon is. Your idea takes precedence over the logic and lore that's already been set up because, as the author, you know really what's up.
Yeah, he's just like, okay, I know the real rules would not let me just have him cast 19 wishes in a single spell film, but I'm going to change the rules so he just can cast wishes whenever he wants, and he just runs around finding different people to cast wishes
on. Well, he's
on.
A consummate showman.
He does like to show off. And he, so many of the wishes are very unnecessary, and the consequences are very undeserved.
Oh, but that's part of what makes it so beautiful and so special and so very much definitely in my top five movies of all time now.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, let's pick out our favorites then. So, Kat, what is your favorite wish and consequence granting in this film? Can you pick your favorite baby?
Oh, boy, yeah.
It's so hard to pick one. Okay.
I might have to come up with a second favorite if you choose mine, because there's I have a very clear favorite.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. I think what I like about the wish I'm about to just go fist deep into is the setup of it, which is just so obvious and plain and like just so shoehorned in. So when he's wearing the dead man's face, and he's in the police precinct, and he's talking to he's talking to the police officer, and the guy just out of nowhere like looks over at some random dude who's getting processed. He's like, "Man, you know what I wish for that guy? I could take him down.
Tell me.
You know, dead to rights.
No, I have to really."
And then
I really have to twist someone's arm to get them to say wish in front of me, but you're just doing it. Yeah.
That is a wishes that I can give you. Mm. And just him being like, oh, it's dead. And the look on the guy's face who's getting processed as he suddenly just like picks up the gun and starts shooting wildly. It's like he's wearing a
he's
necklace.
Like, why am I doing this?
And it's so unnecessary. Everything about that scene it's not needed in the least. And that's part of why I love it so very much. It was just an excuse to get that guy to go on a rampage. Like, he tears a guy's jaw off. Was that part of the wish? That he suddenly has the strength to tear a man's jaw right from his skull? I mean, I don't know. Like, if you can give a skeleton consciousness and it's a compound wish and you don't need to say it, then I guess yes, following this sort of logic. And then... oh, my sweet friends, then. The number of shots that police officer fires at the guy, it's like 29, I think, to take him down. And the look on both of their faces, just this pure horror. Like, and I think part of it was the actors doing a good job of being in character, being like, what the fuck is going on? But then also the actors being like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, what did I get hired to do?
Either they love or they hate their agent at that moment.
That guy was probably in like the special effects department for a while, just being like, so is that enough squibs? No, we're going to put some more squibs.
Yeah, it's
you.
Just like Wes Craven, like off screen being like, of course it's not enough squibs. Like anytime you're asking him if it's enough, it's like, squibs. Take that number and then put an exponent by it. And then maybe you're getting close.
Oh boy. Yeah, no, that's a good wish. That's a good one. That was a fun one. Was that the one you were worried about, Paul?
That was not. Ooh. And I mean, that one is really excellent. But about that, like the guy getting his jaw ripped off and wanting more squibs and having all this crazy stuff, like the skeleton coming out of the guy at the beginning of the movie, I remember thinking, like, that's a really awesome effect. Like, I was expecting a lot, and don't get me wrong, we got a lot of terrible CGI, but I was expecting way more from, you know, a late 90s horror movie.
That's a really good point. I actually had the same thought. And part of why, like, I was so into the movie, like, within that first sequence, is I realized, like, how tactile all of those effects were going to be. And it's part of why, like, I love 80s horror movies and gore movies, is because there's something so satisfying about knowing the blood was actually on set, that someone built these, like, puppets of horror, and the fact that the actors can, like, really interact with them. There's, as an audience member, there's the sense that you can touch it yourself. And it, you know, it skirts around the uncanny valley in that way. And to me, like, I literally sat back in my seat and just went, oh, baby, when the skeleton came out. Like, by myself to no one in my apartment.
Oh, it's great. And I had a suspicion, because there's a scene that happens at a pharmacy later where a guy is, like, dying of cancer in, like, 10 seconds. He gets all of cancer in about 10 seconds. I don't think cancer looks like
that. Well, in
10
seconds it might.
Oh, no. It does.
But so there, as this pharmacist is dying on the ground of turbo cancer, a bunch of people trying to help him, and the one guy trying to render primary aid is, like, a blink and you'll miss it cameo from Tom Savini.
What?
And so it's Tom Savini trying to help out this pharmacist. And so I suspected that, oh, maybe Tom Savini did, like, the special effects and the makeup on this. And I went and I looked it up after the fact, and I realized, no, it wasn't him. It was just that the director of this movie is Robert Kurtzman, who is also, like, a special effects makeup wizard. And so Tom Savini probably just cameoed in it.
Just for his friend?
Just for shits. Because he, like...
Give him a paycheck, get him on set to hang out.
But so there's so many of these cameos from, you know, horror legends, like that narrator at the beginning talking about Jin is Angus Scrimm from Phantasm. And, like, in the opening credits, we get, you know, Robert Englund is in this movie. Tony Todd is in this movie. Kane Hodder is in this movie.
Sam Raimi.
And they're all in it for... Certainly Ted Raimi, who gets crushed.
The internet's going to attack me.
we can cut that out in post.
No, but yeah, I saw Ted Raimi and I'm like, he's going to die any second now. Like.
Oh, and it was beautiful. That was just what a gorgeous, like, that was the second time, I think, in that short period, like, because that's still near the beginning of the movie, where I sat back in my chair and just, like, exclaimed joyously.
Well, he gets crushed because Mickey Torelli is drinking on the job.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So Joxer dies because there's a longshoreman who is drinking on the job. So this is hitting all of my hits. You have to understand this.
And it didn't, I, of course, didn't notice it at the time, but the guy who plays Mickey Torelli, that's another horror movie cameo, because the actor who played Mickey Torelli was, like, had this huge role in Day of the Dead in 85 or something. So it's every single ancillary role, all these tiny little bits, I think it's just people that Wes Craven was able to rope in and say, like, let's make this whole thing
were,
a treat.
They were all at the same party, like, maybe 2 weeks before shooting. And he was just like, hey, you guys.
And then they probably had a good cast party.
Yeah, we didn't bother to hire any extras.
No, but you know how maybe he left it to the last minute. I mean, we've all produced shows before. And, you know, like, we're suddenly he's like, oh, shit. Hey, Hugh, are you free? Just like, yeah, I guess.
Great. Yeah. Right, get on stage now.
Okay. I think my favorite wish, because it is so unnecessarily roundabout, is the one where the guy wishes for $1 million.
Yeah, so that was the one that I was going to say.
Oh, that's the one you were going to say?
Oh, it's so good. Please,
you know, my son
continue.
Is very successful.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my word.
Because It takes you a half second because you're just like, ah, I just want $1 million. And it's smash cut to some old lady filling out her life insurance.
Like, no one has to do that, A, to get on an airplane.
Yeah, it still seems to set up like this is all going to happen like immediately. Like, she's going to rush to an insurance salesman. She's then going to rush onto a plane with nowhere to go. And then the entire plane is going to explode on takeoff, killing hundreds of other people.
Look, she's filling out her life insurance policy because by the heady year of 1997, we still hadn't figured out planes yet. So you had to, back in those days, you had to sign your insurance and just in case. And hey, look what happened. That plane like blew the hell up.
Yeah.
We saw the same thing happen in Final Destination, not a couple of years later.
And insurance will still cover it because Jinn are not an act of God because they're between, right?
Exactly.
They're
between. So you really see how big insurance has its claws in the movie industry, like just for these examples. Like, it's pretty obvious.
It kind of just sets up that, like, the Jinn has so much freedom with how he grants wishes that he could basically do whatever he wants. Like, I am sure that if I ran into the Jinn, I would die immediately because he would ask for literally anything and it would be something impossible that I couldn't do for him. So I'd be like, wish I could help you, but sorry. And he'd be like, wish granted. And then whatever he wanted and my soul. Because he doesn't seem to have to tell you that he's taking your soul. You happen to have said, I want a wish near him, and he overhears it.
Well, see, and that's the same reason that I think I'd be okay, is because I'm so spineless that, you know, even if I'm a guest in a friend's house and, you know, somebody else there asks me, hey, can I get you anything? You want a water? I was like, no, I'm okay. I'm just going to sit here quietly in the corner. Please.
Oh, that's
don't
right.
Let
yeah,
me
that is your
you.
Party voice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I got to warm it up before I go out anywhere. Just so everybody knows that I am deferring to all the alpha party guests.
Yeah, yeah. No, we have to stop inviting you to all our werewolf parties. Where like that is the first thing you have to do is either deference or assert dominance. Weird parties.
Yeah, the first thing you have to do when you go to any party is find the biggest person there and punch them right in the face. Right? That's how you party.
Yeah, I think I've read that's how you. You establish dominance at a
dominance
party.
Dominance at a party, yeah.
I was just remembering also all the jail parties, too, that we've all been to.
Kat, you are going to love Wishmaster, too, if you like jail parties.
Yep. You set him up for a transition, so Paul, go ahead. Tell us a little bit about what happens in Wishmaster 2.
Holy shit. Wishmaster 2, : Evil Never Dies, is... So the Wishmaster... at the end of Wishmaster 1, spoiler alert, is trapped back in the statue, right? He's in the gem, which is trapped back in the statue. And in Wishmaster 2, we open during an art gallery robbery. So I guess Robert Englund's character, Beaumont, all of his stuff, all of his precious art that was coming to life and killing everybody at the end of the first movie, is now in an art gallery, and during a shootout in the gallery, which is incredible because they're just damaging everything. There's no care taken to protect any of the art. The statue gets shot. The gem falls out. One of the thieves takes the gem, awakens the Jinn, and the plot is changed here because instead of like four wishes to get all his power back, and then three wishes to the person that awoke the Jinn. In this one, suddenly, instead of four souls, he needs 1,001 souls.
Okay.
What? What an escalation.
Yeah, so what...
Does this have to do with, like, the, like, 1,001 nights, like Scheherazade? Because that's also where I first heard the term Jinn. I don't know, maybe?
Yeah. I imagine that's where they got the number. They don't make reference to...
I mean, I'm surprised that a movie that starts with an art gallery heist isn't more literary, but continue.
Well, so the protagonist of the film shoots and kills a security guard because that's what good people do. The Jinn who awakens and still has like the face of Nathaniel Demarest from the first one, that wonderful, creepy face. He takes the fall. He confesses to the murder of the security guard. He confesses to the
heist. Does the thief wish for that, or does he just do
no,
it?
No, he just does it. Ostensibly, so A, the person who awoke him doesn't go to jail.
Oh, okay.
And B, so that he can go to jail and then start gathering souls from all of these desperate people who are in prison.
It's a good plan, actually.
And it's so funny, all of the prison antics that he gets up to. Because this one is clearly, like, they lean into the silliness of it a bit more. Wes Craven was not involved at this point.
It was pretty silly in the first one, to be honest.
Pretty silly, but this one, they dial it up so hard. He's actively referring to himself as the Wishmaster.
Does he look at the camera every single time he says Wishmaster to acknowledge he's saying the title of the movie?
Not every single time, but there is one where some guy phrases something as a wish, and the Wishmaster turns, looks full bore down the camera, as in like, oh... all know what's about to happen.
Oh, this has brought me so much joy.
Oh, great.
You rascal.
It's really, really a lot of fun, Wishmaster 2. I think everybody should watch Wishmaster. I think everybody should watch Wishmaster 2. I'm going to watch the third and fourth one, and I'll get back to you. We'll add like a tag onto the end of this episode of my review.
Yeah, I can put that in the post, I guess. Just... here's what Paul said about the last.
Paul
the third
died
and the
while watching Wishmaster 4.
Paul died. Turns out those ones are not good. They are. He had an allergic reaction to the third and fourth films, and there was nothing we could do.
Yeah, it was on him for wishing they were better. Wait, what? No!
Wish granted.
But it wouldn't be that voice, because as he said, it's a new actor, so it'd be like, oh, wish granted. I don't know. I don't know why I think Goofy is playing the Wishmaster.
Well, hang on a second. Why? Yeah. Why is
Goofy? Well, he wanted to stay away from Disney. Anybody else? Like right now.
He was trying to take on some more adult roles, like Elizabeth Berkeley, and it just completely backfired.
I really feel like, okay, let's talk about the design of the Wishmaster a little bit.
Yes.
I feel like he's pulling off one really strong Palpatine vibes the entire time, walking around with a cloak,
the contacts,
speaking in whispers, and two, yeah. And two, he looks way more like an alien.
Yeah,
than he does,
I got some like kind of Geiger mythical vibes from him.
Yeah, I can see that. And he had like tentacles coming out of the back of his head. He showed up as like a Martian baby,
played by Vern Troyer.
Yeah, there's something almost xenomorphic about that.
Yeah, there were also to say xenomorph specifically, a lot of his wishes ended with something bursting out of someone's chest. Like it wasn't just the skeleton. There was also like. One guy just like sort of barfed out a monster.
Yeah,
like a
Robert
monster
Englund
that
was the one who was barfing out the monster that was
to it. It was
to,
just like,
yeah, grab onto Alexander Anderson, which by the way, once they said her full name, the first thing I thought of was like, Alexandra Amberson. Her name is Alexandra Amberson. And I'm like, yes. So that.
Now, I mean, Wishmaster, the musical. Is now all
once
I've
Broadway
ever
is back, baby. I think we know what to option. Like, how much would the rights cost for this movie? Like $20, like $30.
The rights can't be much because again, none of us had really heard much about this going in. Like, this has become a sleeper hit for sure.
I think the most recent one, Wishmaster 4, was in like 2002.
That is so recent for something that I have not like heard
well, so,
of.
Well, so the first one was 97, and then the second one was, I want to say, 99. So they made four movies in the space of about 5 years, and then I don't think they've made any more.
Horror movies that normally, like, if they got four movies out of it, you'd think that would be something that, like, would come up more in conversation of, like, oh, yeah, you know, that horror movie, Wishmaster. We all talk about Wishmaster, but, like, it never gets referenced like a Freddy or a Jason or a...
Yeah, it never became like a legacy series. Like,
well,
you know?
I don't think we can all pretend to be surprised about that.
How dare you say something so true and yet so
I feel
brave.
Like someone should have told their friends, like, hey, this one's a wild ride. Yeah.
You know, you think of the great pantheon of horror villains, like Freddy Krueger,
Leprechaun,
Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers, the Wishmaster.
Okay, well, be clear. Leprechaun is also in the pantheon of ones that, like, everyone knows about, even if you haven't seen it. You know that there is a leprechaun monster.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know that there is a leprechaun, but who has actually seen any of the... Even the first one, I am
You're right. I've only seen clips like on YouTube. I think it was Leprechaun. What was it, like Back in the Hood? Back to the Hood. I'm so sorry.
Back to the Hood, because that's with the letter two, because that's the second one where he's in the hood.
But not the second film overall. He does not start, to be clear, he does not start in the hood.
No, he doesn't start in the hood. Leprechaun 5 is Leprechaun in the hood, and then Leprechaun 6 is Leprechaun back to the hood.
Which means it's making like a sub-sequel. It's a sequel to a internal sequel.
Yeah, which, you know, it's weird that he goes to the hood after going to space. In the
Why is that
one,
weird?
Normally space is the final escalation.
Well, you know, and if I think of places that I've been, I've been to the hood. I've never been to space.
It's like the path, right? Like you have to backtrack from space to get back to the hood.
Yeah.
So like, if you had planned it in advance, you would go through the hood to get to space.
Oh, not, definitely.
Yeah.
That's the order I would do it.
Or like it would make sense if he went to the hood and then he went to space and then he decided
and then
like,
went
well,
back to the hood.
Back to the hood is going back from space.
But isn't
space.
That what we're saying yeah, in the like way that it's way a, the Earth. Sub-sequel? Other like Earth just, you know, going through it chronologically? It sounds like that's exactly what the Leprechaun did. Look, we're not here to talk about Leprechaun, though.
That was another episode of this podcast.
That was another episode. You can hear my full review of Leprechaun earlier, which I did enjoy. It was bad, and I did enjoy it. So it's in the I don't think this is like a good film. I think this is a fun ride.
I think it's a great film.
You can say that. I'm not going to.
And I did.
Maddox, what other movie have you seen where somebody wishes for $1 million and then their mom blows up?
Again, so I fixate
not
on
a Latin.
My whole thing is magic wishes, guys. This is like my whole brand right now.
Yeah.
And so I fixate on like the fairness of the evil cost. And it seems unfair to kill his mom because he made a wish.
He got right? $1 million.
Yeah, but like, crush him with $1 million.
Didn't even get to spend it too.
Give him $1 million in pennies and then just crush him. That's how I'd do it.
Why is that more fair than blowing up his mom?
Because he made the wish, so he gets the consequence.
Yeah, but he's
And like 100 other people died on that plane.
Yeah,
that pilot was probably a good pilot.
You don't know that. He might have also been drinking.
Been drinking that day, yeah.
Can I just say, at the end of the movie, when the drunk longshoreman, when Alexandra Amberson makes the wish for that guy not to be drinking on the job that day, honestly, I can't say it's my favorite part of the movie, but it's a very close second, was when... Ted Raimi, when Joxer is saying, like, hey, be more careful with that, like, move it over here, and he's just like, okay, I will, and everything is fine.
Just really overemphasizing that he is not
he is not drunk, yeah.
He's got so much energy.
Which, again, if you're trying to twist
thrilled.
It, if you're trying to twist it, okay, he's not drunk, but he could have still been high. He could have still been tired. He could have still just been bad at his job.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually, I can't believe the Jin didn't think of that.
Jin didn't think of it.
Because she didn't say, I wish he was sober that day.
Nope.
Look, do you know, but we all know why the Jin didn't think of it. Is because what? When it came down to a battle of wits between Alexandra and the Jin, only one of them was able to draw upon their skills as a basketball coach.
Right. And the power of stillness.
The power of stillness to really go into her head and figure out the smartest way to defeat a thousands-year-old demon.
Not a demon.
Well, you're right. Jin. Not everyone
they're
can
between,
be a girl's basketball coach.
Humans and
it's
demons.
Established in the second one that he is a demon.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah.
Throw out your lore. All right.
Well, it's because he's like one of the other characters in it is a priest.
Okay.
He's invoking Jesus and God. Gets crucified at the end of the movie. It's pretty rad.
Wait, and that works? Like the Jin gives a shit about Jesus and God?
No, very pointedly.
Oh, okay, good.
Because quote unquote, you're thinking of the wrong demon.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably just him doing some wordplay then.
He is very glib.
He is glib.
Okay. Also, speaking of his glibbery, when progressively
is that
throughout
what you call
the movie,
tentacles on the back of his head, glibbery.
Yes, his glibbery,
glibberies.
His glistening glibbery. Oh, I hate that sentence, but so I'm glad they're I said so
wet.
It.
He was okay. Very wet and drippy for the first like half of the movie.
He looked like the word sluice.
Sluice? Is that a word?
Yeah, sluice.
Okay.
S-L-U-I-C-E. Remember how I was super into Bananagrams?
It's that true, yeah.
Like, just trust me on this.
I'm not going to challenge you to Bananagrams. You're going to get me.
That's right. First mistake. It's glistening glibbery. When progressively through the movie, one of my favorite things, especially in late 90s movies, early 2000s movies, is when... demons or creatures or wizards from olden days start adopting modern day slang.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And he starts saying things like, well, looks like shit has really hit the fan.
I did note that one. How do you know what a fan is? And why would you think shit hits the fan is an expression? Where did you pick that up?
I think it is clear to anybody who looks at a fan that if you got shit in that, it would be a really bad thing.
But so what are you saying is that he's the originator of that specific expression? And then
he's been around for a long time.
Fans in a more general sense have. So could have been like one of those hand fans and someone just threw shit at it.
What I think is that the fan was invented because somebody, it was too hot. Somebody wanted to cool down. And they wished for a way to be cool. And then he brought the fan. And then sort of the ironic twist was that he put a bunch of shit in it. And it got shit everywhere.
So someone was just like, man, I wish I had a device for moving air over my body in a way to cool me. And then wish granted. And then...
Yeah, and that's exactly.
And then afterward, he was like, not my best work.
not the most creative, but I just... Because really, you could just throw a bunch of shit onto any wish and it makes it worse.
That was kind of something that I did in the 1500s because so much of it was around. It was truly my personal dark age.
That's what happens when you grant a wish at like 4:45 on a Friday. You're like, I don't know, shit on it.
TGIF, am I right?
All right, get out of here.
And now it's just a montage of all his shit, literally shittiest wishes set to the Tragically Hips My Music at Work. Like, this is...
let's see if that's one of the later ones. It's just him in an office in a cubicle granting wishes online or something. Telemarketer wishing.
How can I help you out today?
And then he grants the wish over the internet and over the phone. And he could charge his crystal real fast.
Do you think that's what the company Wish is? Like all the ads on Facebook for Wish?
Oh.
Those are way too specific of items that they try to sell you for them not to be created by an evil djinn. I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
May have figured it out.
Guys, I think we're onto something. And I'm worried about this podcast being published now because I think the wrong people are going to hear it. And they're going to know that we know something we're not supposed to.
It's too late. You can't edit podcasts and you also can't not release them. So
damn it. I forgot the two rules of podcasting.
The two rules of podcasting. We can do neither of those things. So I guess the big djinn is coming after us.
Yeah. You know what? I've had a fine life. If this is it, then it could have been worse.
Just remember when the djinn comes to wish that less people had been drinking alcohol before going to work. It's apparently their one weakness. I guess I already told mine how I think the djinn would get me. How do you guys think the djinn would get you if you got by a djinn?
I feel like mine would be, it would just be so off the cuff. I'm rather the opposite of Paul. Like Paul earlier, you said you're the kind of person someone offers you like a drink at a party. You're just like, no, I'll be fine. See, not me. I roll in quite a bit of just arrogance and, I really take up space in a room with both the volume of my voice and my personality and how important I think I am. So I feel like it would just be me like a one-off, like, oh man, I wish it wasn't so hot today. And then suddenly nuclear winter.
Right.
Like, I don't think it would be all that interesting. I wouldn't even really want the thing that I was wishing for. I'm just so used to asking for things.
You're just making conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. It's like, you know what? I would really like an ice cream right now. And how could that be interpreted? Like the person that I'm with, like I just hear wish granted and I'd be like, what? And then I'd turn around and then like my friend would slowly be morphing into an ice cream in that like slow, beautifully horrifying way. And like their lungs are slowly turning into dairy. So their screaming gets all garbled and like their eyes start melting into the rest of their face as it like turns into a delicious twist swirl.
All right. So now I have a very important follow-up question. Your friend has just been turned into ice cream. They're dead. You know, they're dead. They can't move anymore. They've stopped moving, but they've turned into ice cream. Do you eat it?
Well, I mean, if it's the size of a person, I couldn't eat the whole thing.
But do you like give it a taste? Like it was your friend, but also they're already dead. So, I mean, and it is a lot of ice cream.
I think it would be like that bit in The Simpsons where Homer's tearfully eating Pinchy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the exact right pull. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Paul? How do you think the gin's going to get you?
Oh, boy. See, the thing is, whenever I think about what I would wish for if given the chance to just have a wish granted, I'm that kind of piece of shit where I would just wish for omnipotence. But on the other hand, I do occasionally catch myself remembering embarrassing things I did when I was younger. And then just muttering to myself under my breath, I wish I was fucking dead. And I think that's how the djinn would get me.
I mean, that's kind of like, I think he would be really disappointed.
He just, like, he wouldn't show me my yearbook.
He certainly wouldn't kill you. I think it would be suddenly you were like, let's get really dark and disgusting here. Like, you wish you were fucking dead. You'd be fucking a corpse suddenly.
That does remind me of my favorite wish from Wishmaster 2.
Oh, no.
It's not. It nobody fucks a corpse.
Okay, good.
Well, then why did you?
I was just thinking, like, if you wished you were dead, and like he's trying to find a way to kill you with your wish, he'd be just so disappointed that he didn't get to be creative. You'd see him like take like a really deep sigh and like fill a gun with bullets really slowly.
Oh, and do you think the Wishmaster would then wish he got more creative, but then suddenly now he's at the mercy of his own ironic wishes?
Maybe if there's another djinn around. There's not only one djinn. So if another djinn goes, I was like, oh, now I got you. And it's a whole game of djinn tag where they try to get each other.
Right. And he's just like, well, God damn it, Gary.
Well, Maddox, that's the thing, is the Wishmaster is I think the only djinn on this plane. All of the other djinn are trapped behind a really bad layer of CGI.
Right.
That's true. That
sort of threatens to come through the wall a little bit. And it's just one of them sort of pushing through the wall because they don't have the budget to do that shot twice.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
They wish they had the budget.
My best.
Hey! Yeah.
Oh, that's as good a place to end this discussion as anywhere. All right. So thank you so much, Paul. Thank you so much for Kat for joining me and to everyone listening. We'll have another wish soon. And another movie about wishes soon is what I meant. Don't get me, djinn. Don't get me.
Wish granted.
Well, that's what we came up with, but we want to hear from you. Tell us your thoughts. You can find us on Twitter at BreakAWishPod, email breakawishpod@gmail.com, join the BreakAWish discussion group on Facebook, and you can support the show by writing a review, telling a friend, or buying a t-shirt on TeePublic. All this information at breakawish.ca. For more Kat Letwin, you can look her up at Letwinka on Twitter and Instagram. And you can see her in Vision TV's Late Night, a play recorded for television that you can watch online for free. For more Paul JP, you can look up the MCU Improvised, which will start up new live shows when it can, and you can find recordings of past Marvel films they've improvised on their Facebook page. This is a Kicks and Giggles Entertainment production, hosted by Maddox Campbell, theme by Matthew Reed, cover art by Justin Langford, and a proud member of the Sonar Podcast Network. More podcasts at thesonarnetwork.com. So, what would you wish for?
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
When you're all alone and the clock keeps ticking and you can't sleep, I'll be with you. It's time for your schedule. He was a writer that I saw. On a Dark Cold Night is a bedtime ghost story podcast. Each week, writer and performer Kristen Zaza, that's me, creates a new fictional story for you that is frightening yet soothing to help you calm down and get to sleep. As an anthology with a cryptic, overarching through line, each episode you spend time with your mysterious narrator, also me, and get to know her a little bit more, for better or for worse. Brought to you by the Sonar Network, On a Dark Cold Night can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, or anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. Visit KristenZaza.com or thesonarnetwork.com for more information. Good night, my friends.
On June 9th, you find yourself in an attic, wine cellar, waiting room for a clinic, trapped in an enclosed private garden, sitting in a small two-door car, completely submerged in water. The room is back. I'm Shannon LaHaye, host of Escape Capade.
There's a symbol above each
door. Oh, I see. I understand.
Which one?
What is this?
This one like the rock on hand?
I invite two comedians to come onto my show and describe to them in great detail a room that they're trapped in.
Dude, look at this wine! Dude. Perfect, that's all we need. I'm getting drunk.
What's that thing where they put the food onto to make it hot?
Having a drink.
They hear it for the first time live during recording, and the rest is improvised.
Can I take the wall hanging down?
I'll go.
Let's read the message together.
Okay, what? Let me clean my glass.
Oh, come on.
So it's 6-7 so far. You want to just try 8?
I don't know. I don't know what the risk of that is. Yeah, let's just try 8, sure.
A whole new season of Escape Capade begins on June 9th.
Did that make sense? What I
like, to me it did because I'm your sister.
On Sonar or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.